Welcome to season two of I Vet So Hard, the not so serious podcast for seriously busy veterinary teams.
Hold on to your sanity, happiness, and success. Learn a few new tricks and embrace efficient processes that actually work in veterinary practice.
In each episode, we'll kick the tires on a hot topic and break it down into five key takeaways that you can start using right away. I'm Dr. Stacy Santee.
I'm Dr. Caitlin DeWild.
I'm Dr. Krista Wallace.
And this is I Vet So Hard. All right. Welcome, dearly beloved, to this week's episode of I Vet So Hard. We are gathered here today to discuss workflow. And what's ironic about today's recording is we already recorded this once, but I forgot to hit the record button, which shows you we have a problem in our own workflow. Busted.
I am super excited about this because this actually came up that I had someone ask me, like, what do you mean a workflow? Like, what is a workflow? And you and I have just been in this like nerdy tech area of vet med for a long time that to me, it seems pretty intuitive, but a workflow is basically a better SOP or a better checklist. So it's how the work gets done, but more importantly, it's an opportunity for you and your team to improve upon it, to make sure it's documented, but to make sure that whatever that workflow is, the outcome is going to be the best thing possible for your pets, for your patients, for your clients, for your team. So let's dive in. What do you think? Tell us what you know about workflows.
Well, I first heard about this. It's been some years now, maybe 10 years ago. And I had a client actually that I asked her what she did for a living. And she said she was a workflow analyst. So she would fly to different hospitals and hang out with them for a few weeks. And her job was like something like reduce the amount of time it takes in recovery or help admission processes in a hospital, reduce the time or improve the efficiency of it or improve the patient satisfaction of something. So I ended up looking up what this job listing ad is for. And here's what it says, you guys. Workflow analysis refers to evaluating a sequence of tasks and activities that produce a specific outcome. The analysis provides insight into each step in the workflow in order to identify redundancies, bottlenecks, and other issues. So it's all about creating the optimal workflow about how you do something in the practice that can improve your whole efficiency and patient outcome and client satisfaction, all of that stuff bundled into one.
Nice. And I think it's important to, you know, say that we're not trying to like be robots and we're not trying to be super fast. Like we are looking for ways to make not only things better in terms of time and how many things we can get done, but also experience, right? So when we think about what needs a workflow, so if you're like, okay, this sounds pretty good, and you're just looking to upgrade your checklists that are laminated from like 1999, okay, or 2022, because I did a lot of that. And truthfully, I just really like laminating, guys. So it is what it is.
I love laminating.
But if we're looking to do a better way, what needs a workflow? In my mind, it's a few things. Number one, it's things that are repeatable, things that happen over and over and over and over and over again, right? We want to make sure that we're not missing steps, but we also want to make sure that we're spending so much time doing something over and over again that we're doing it in the best way. Another way that I think it's really important is if you have multiple people doing the same thing, like this person does it on Mondays, but this person does it on Tuesdays, but you need the outcome or the output or whatever it is, you need it to be the same. So we want to make sure that that's done well every time, and it doesn't matter who does it, but it's going to be done the right way.
I mean, let's look at Starbucks. Every single time somebody orders a grande breve latte with a single shot espresso, 4 pumps of vanilla, 1 pump of chocolate, it comes out the same freaking way.
Is that your order though? I need to know.
Maybe.
Maybe have some judgment, but you're right.
Keep your judgment to yourself. This is why I love Starbucks.
Hey guys, it's Krista Wallace from the I Vet So Hard podcast. Did you know that I Vet So Hard is race approved? all you need to do is listen to 3 episodes and take a quiz at ivetsohard.com, and we will send you your CE certificate. It's that easy.
The last thing is anything that you can delegate. So we're talking to the practice managers, the vets, the head techs. If there's a task that you're doing because you've always done it, or you know that you know how to do it, but you don't have to be the person that does it, and you have not enough hours in the day, then it is time to delegate it, and a workflow can help you do that.
Now, let's talk about real quick, just to help our listeners, what are some repeatable events that you're talking about? For me, the one that comes to mind is like something like appointment confirmations.
Yeah, appointment confirmations is a great one. How to approve pharmacy refills, refill
requests. That's a good one.
That's been a big thing. And we have 2 different ones, right? So if they come in for like local pickup versus if they're ordering online, those are 2 different workflows entirely. The example that I'll use that also relates to kind of delegating is that when the practice started, the owner was the only vet. And so she only had the one computer that was linked up to the DICOM. So when submitting an x-ray to a radiologist for review, it's a ridiculous number of steps to transfer it out of the x-ray machine and into the computer and then to upload it. And she was the only one doing that solely because it was on her computer and she was the only one that had ever done it. And now it's like 4 other doctors are there and doesn't need to be a doctor job to upload that, right? So things like that, I use them for marketing all the time. So there, I have a marketing workflow for responding to any online reviews. We do 5 steps, right? Or even for when the social DVM, when we work with clinics, a lot of times we work with them on the workflow of how do you get pictures of your patients that you've taken off of a team member's cell phone? What's the workflow to actually get them posted on social media? How does that work? And it's different. I think that's a key thing that we should point out about workflows is it's different. We're not talking about standardization of every rote task in the practice. And we're not trying to be like corporate, this is your protocol for doing this. What works at my practice won't work at yours. But here's how it works for our team. And this is our needs. And this is how it gets from to do to done, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think those are the things to think about. Now, if you guys are inspired by this, I would encourage you to start thinking of, okay, I want to add some workflows. I would not say, let's start with the things that are already going okay. Like, because you could get to a point where you have workflows. You actually already have workflows in your practice. You just don't know it. And they're maybe not documented, but you might have like, I don't know, I would guess several hundred already in play. But the ones that you need to work on, and I would encourage you to start with, are the things that are problems. So either problems that clients get frustrated with or problems that your team has. What are things that are causing you frustration or delay of any kind? I feel like I'm referencing a Thomas the Train situation in my head. It's like confusion and delay. Life with boys. The things that are like not going well, those are the things to start with. How do we make this better?
You've got to think about too, the things that you do infrequent enough that only one person knows how to do them. And you aren't going to be able to turn these workflows on overnight, but you can over time start tackling them. So for example, if you are on vacation and you're at the beach and you get a panicked phone call from the practice because the bulb in the microscope went out and they don't know how to change it. Like that's never happening again at my practice. That's like, okay, we learned we have a hole here. We're putting a workflow together so we don't have to deal with that again. So as you experience these things and they're costing you time and money and sanity, you can start to write workflows around them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I did that for my own business. And then again, in the practice, it took about 3 months, truthfully, but I got to the point where I was like, okay, if I'm doing something and I, in my head, if I was like, gosh, I wish I didn't have to do this, or I wish that somebody else knew how to do this because it doesn't need to be me, then it was worth the extra. Honestly, with some of the tools we're going to talk about here in a minute, like 1 to 3 minutes, it'll take you to get this documented and get this down for someone else to do from a delegation standpoint, but also a backup standpoint, right? I joke a lot of times, you know, I'm a single business owner. What happens to all my clients that I work with and my team if I get hit by a bus, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so this is the, it's a little bit of a protection plan also, so.
Yeah, we call that the bus factor. So the bus factor. It, you should not have only one person able to do anything in your practice ever.
That's how you hear those like people that have been embezzling oh, yeah. for 30 years, right? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So there are a lot of benefits to having a workflow and having a standard around how to do things. One is it becomes a lot easier. I mean, a lot easier to train new staff. That alone is a reason to do it. Is you've got a playbook, if you will, for how we do things at our practice. And this helps you deliver consistent outcomes and client experiences. So if you're all checking in clients a little bit differently, that's a problem because people want to have the same breve latte when they come in. And look at the people that are doing well with the clients in that example and try to incorporate that into your workflow.
It's also going to really help with your efficiency. And I'm not trying to say this again from the standpoint of like putting more work on anyone. I want to improve how much time we're saving. So like from many of the standpoints, when I think about this, it's like, this is going to help our team get out the door on time, or this is going to help me save, you know, this many movements, right? We talk about that in surgery, that economy of movement, that, you know, you're over your lifetime, how many, you know, extensions of your arm and wrist are you going to push out, right? If you're not thinking about picking both tools up at the same time with one hand, those kind of things.
You know, I just want to tell you guys a story I had about one of my technicians. She was lovely, but her time from sedation to surgery was twice as long as everybody else. And we were all getting frustrated, number one, because the patient was under a lot longer. And I was trying to figure out what is going on with this girl. And so I sat there and I watched her one day, and she'd walk over to the drawer and she'd get the catheter and then she'd set it on the anesthesia machine. She'd go back and she'd get the IV bag and the extension set and she'd set it on the table. And she was just not condensing her steps. And once I realized that, I was able to help her. I was able to say, hey, let's go over here and let's get all the things we need at once. And we even went so far as to make a catheter tray, a surgical setup tray. And this really sped her up. And I realized at that moment, she just wasn't trained in these kind of workflow steps. And not everybody just knows to do this. So you've got to help people.
Yeah. And if they don't realize that, you know, this particular thing is a problem, there's not an impetus to, you know, create this workflow. But again, we're talking about saving them time, improving our outcomes, and hopefully making everybody's job a little bit better. So let's talk about my favorite part, the nerdy tools that can help you. We've got five great tools that I think can really help this process be better and help you get it done. So I will talk about my first favorite. I'm claiming it because this is my favorite. I love Tango, which I think I learned about from Tracy Sands, a veterinarian and practice owner. So shout out to her. But Tango is a free tool you can use, and I will link it up in the show notes. But it basically will let you create SOP or workflow directly from your computer screen. So I would encourage you to use this on anything that you're using on a screen. So we have used these for that example I shared about how to upload the x-rays to radiology, how to submit for a claim for our, you know, diagnostic lab, how to approve refill requests, both online and in person, how to run the end of day reports, anything like that, because it will capture your screen, but it basically makes step-by-step instructions. It hyperlinks anything if you're using a web tool, and it takes screenshots for you automatically. You can then edit the steps if you need to. You can email them, you can share a link to them, or you can download it as a PDF. It's free for up to like 25 workflows or so. You can always, you know, download them and then free up more space. I've actually just recently gone ahead and made the plunge on the paid version just so I had more room for it, but can't speak highly enough of this tool.
Yeah, I love Tango. Tracy showed you Tango. You showed me. I use it all day long. This thing's one of my favorite tools. Another one, though, right up there with Tango that I'm still in love with is Loom. And Loom is a software recording program. You can get an app on your phone for it, or you can use it on the computer. You hit a button and it starts recording either you directly, just your video, or you on your screen, or just your screen. So there's lots of ways you can use this. And the thing that's good about it, I mean, of course, you could just whip out your phone and record a video, and that's fine too. You could upload it to YouTube or whatever. But I like Loom because the videos have private URLs, and you're able to just take that content and leave it in the cloud, because these are generally pretty big files. So you can just grab the URL to that particular lesson or video and put it into your document. The other thing that's super cool about Loom is it's a bit interactive. When people watch the video, they can comment. You could have people leave their name there if you wanted to sort of track who was watching the video. And it's really easy to use, and you're not having to deal with giant files, because some of these videos might be 10 minutes plus long. And, you know, you start running into problems on memory and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. I use it as well. And I'll also say, at least from my team at the Social DVM, I think we've talked about, we use a task management software because there's a lot of tasks that have to get done every week, every day, every month for our clients, right? Like we run this report every month, or we, you know, every day check their inboxes or whatever the thing is. So I have a few people on my team. One of them in particular only wants written. She doesn't want to watch a video. Another one really wants to watch the video instead. And so honestly, I did both at the same time for a long time. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start Loom and I'm going to start Tango, because then every task, there's no excuse, right? I wanted to make it as easy as possible, no matter what that person's learning style was, that information was there and accessible. So for every task, I've got the link to the Tango, which is, you know, in effect a print version, and then I've got the link to the Loom. So even if, you know, we add new team members in the future, that information on how to do that is already on there, and they can learn it there. So I think that's a really good thing to also think about. What does the majority of your team, how do they like to learn? Mm-hmm. So check those things out.
Do you ever wish you spent less time repeating the same information to clients? Videos on Demand equips your practice with hundreds of videos covering time-sucking topics like surgery aftercare, parasite prevention, and periodontal disease. Effortlessly incorporate these videos into your exam room, waiting room TVs, website, and social media using On Demand's built-in tools. Best of all, each video is customized with your practice's branding and protocols. I Bet So Hard listeners get a 30-day free trial and 50% off your first year using the link in the show notes.
The next one is pretty standard and easy, which is Google Suite. So by that, we mean any of the Google workspace tools, whatever you want to call them. So Google Docs, Google Slides, and then Google Drive as a storage. This is all free. I would encourage you, if you already have SOPs or checklists in Microsoft Word or something like that, get them on Google Docs and in the Drive instead, because you can access them from anywhere, any device. They're automatically backed up. You don't have to use tools like Tango and Loom if you don't want to. For a long time, and truthfully, still most of our SOPs are just written documents. But that way they're accessible, it's easy to use, you don't have to get fancy with it if you don't want to. You can copy and paste stuff in there, you can drop screenshots in there if you need to, but definitely worth getting it all organized. So we have a print binder of any workflows and documents like that, but we also have the digital. So there, again, no excuse why anybody can't find it.
Oh my God, you hurt my heart when you say you have a print binder. Let's just be real. Let's get this shit off the print and into the Google Suite. Just do it, because the moment you print something, I mean, it's going stale. Sure. And these other documents, you can keep them live. It's so much easier. All right. The next one, number 4, is do learn how to take a screenshot. just learn that. And if you don't know how, let me teach you real quick. If you're on a Mac, it's Command-Shift-4. If you're on a PC, it's the little Windows icon, and there's a little button called Print Screen, PrintScrn. You'll probably see it over to the right of your keyboard there. It's kind of in the middle usually. You just hit those buttons and you get an automatic screenshot. And then it's so easy on these computers now. You can draw on there. You could circle something. You could type something on there. Learn how to do all of that, because then you can just whip these out and send them to people. And it, you don't even have to say anything. You can say, here is a picture of what I want you to do with the big red circle around it. And you can even add it to your workflow document if you need to, if you think it's going to be a confusing part of the process.
It's so much easier to see. I'm a visual learner. So it's so much easier when you add those images to, other than telling people, go here, do this, like a screenshot can honestly save you like from typing out like probably 8 steps. But
yeah, you know, Chris and I did a podcast a few weeks ago on learning and retaining information, and 70% of people are visual learners.
There you go.
So you got to have some pictures.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do this. Yeah. Okay, I mean, Caitlin, drum roll for the last one.
Oh, I'm so excited. Again.
It's really, we said Tango was our favorite. We said Loom was our favorite, but I guess we were probably not being totally honest, because I think this one's our favorite now.
I feel like it could be like still in the lust phase though of the relationship. It's pretty new. All right, guys, we're talking about ChatGPT, which is, we have a whole podcast on it, but it's openai.com to be able to use this. But basically this is a artificial intelligence. So you type in, I need a workflow for managing social media comments, or I need a workflow for X, Y, and Z, and it will generate one for you. I'm not saying it's perfect, it's not, and it will make shit up, no lie, but it types it out faster than you could ever do it and gives you a great launch pad. The other thing that I have done with it, we did this for a workflow that was this like giant, like 7-page document from one of the diagnostic labs. And I was like, this needs to be 1 page. And so I copied and pasted it and I put it into ChatGPT and I said, shorten this document to less than 1 page, bullet points only. And it did it. Boom, done. So copy and paste it, put it in your Google Doc, in your SOP workflow folder, you're done. It's so easy. So take advantage of some of these tools that can really help you, again, get these workflows documented and implemented in your practice.
Super smart. And you can also add flair to your ChatGPT if you're so inclined. You could say, you know, throw in a dad joke to keep the reader happy, or use engaging language, or make it funny and use references about dogs and cats. You can do so many things with ChatGPT. You can even ask it to make, you know, 3 quiz questions at the end that you could throw on the end of the document. And if somebody ever read it and answered the quiz questions, they could get a prize. So there's lots of ways you can innovate using that ChatGPT. I guess that's why we love it so much.
It's true. I feel like we just barely know it yet. We're still so new.
The other day, my niece, she's just graduated college and she's looking for a job, and she was responding to a LinkedIn ad. She was sitting in her cover letter and I was showing her ChatGPT, and I said, add Taylor Swift songs to the letter. And it wove in all the various titles of Taylor Swift songs into her cover letter. It was so funny. Of course, she is probably going to send that, although I did tell her she should, because you'd stand out for sure.
Eventually, I guess it depends on who gets it, but yeah.
I know, funny stuff. All right, guys, hopefully we've inspired you to take a look at your workflow, figure out how you can improve things at your hospital, document, get it in the cloud, check out these new tools. You can go to ivetsohard.com and we've got a list here of our 5 software tools that we just talked about. Okay, have a great rest of your week and we will see you in approximately 7 more days. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of I Vet So Hard.
Don't forget to head over to ivetsohard.com to sign up for bonus content with more tips on how to kick ass.
We will see you right back here, same time, same place next week.
Until then, Here's to keeping your sanity at your practice.